Good morning. Please stand and join with me in this morning's call to worship. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise God from the heights above.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created.
Praise the Lord from the earth, ye great sea creatures, and all the oceans.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. Now let us join in our song of worship, number 115, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Now let us bow our heads for this morning's invocation. Dear, loving, and sustaining God, we come before you contemplating the accomplishments and failures of 2017. We recognize that we have pleased and disappointed you. We have followed your will and experienced the blessings of your creation. We have sinned and fallen short. We have failed to love our neighbor and keep your commandments. We have experienced your forgiveness, love, and grace. We pray for your continued presence in our lives and pray that as we contemplate the challenges and opportunities of 2018, we will individually and corporately draw closer to you, that we may show the world and especially our community who you are and what you look like. Bless this time of worship and fellowship as we seek to reflect your glory and bring you honor. May our words and actions reflect our relationship with you to all we encounter in 2018. Inspire us to a greater understanding and appreciation of your presence as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning and welcome as we gather to worship on this wonderful winter's day. I am delighted to see you all. It seems like to me that we thought, with the temperatures being down around zero and the new snow that we had just a night before, that we might be a little bit light this morning, and I can understand why some did not get out. It looks like it's going to be a wonderfully cold week, so I hope everyone is prepared and we'll keep safe. I hope you all had a Merry Christmas. Today is New Year's Eve, so some of you I won't see after this morning's worship, so Happy New Year. Please be aware that there are still opportunities for volunteer service, and you'll have the sign-up sheets for Kids Connection and things like that, Panera Pickup, and fellowship time. Please give attention to that and sign up for what you can do. It's kind of an interesting thing. We are $23 short of our goal for the retired missions and missionaries and ministers offering. You can figure it out. Count how many people are here. It turned out to be one of those things. At least my count is there's 23 of us, so take that in mind, and I'm sure we'll meet our goal today. I don't think there are any other announcements. The new year's going to start out a little slow, because that's the way things are after the Christmas holidays, and very cold. Let us stand and sing for our hymn of praise, number 110, Angels from the Realms of Glory.
Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. We bring our gifts and offerings in humble gratitude. We recognize that these offerings and our attitude as we give them reflect the relationship we have with you. As we conclude our retired ministers and missionaries offering this month, may this offering be the blessing we intend to those who have given their lives in service to you and to us. May all these tithes and offerings be used to show your love and grace to our world and our community. Bless and multiply them to build your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There's a bit of a change in our order of worship this morning because there won't be an anthem. Randy will sing Mary, Did You Know? A little later in the worship service, and we can have our children's message. Good morning. Did you have a good Christmas? I'm glad. I had a good Christmas, too. Since today is New Year's Eve, it's a calendar. This is my Thomas Kincaid Painter of Life calendar for 2018. I get one of these every year. And sometimes the paintings that are depicted are the same. But I thought I'd show them to you, or at least some of them. You can see what he's famous for. You see the light coming out of the lighthouse? And out of the windows in the house? And there's a lamp. And there are other pictures too. That looks like a church. Anyway, that's not real light coming out of those windows. It's light-colored paint. Sort of like that. That is real light, though, shining through those windows. Look at the lights in the street on that one, and shining in the wet of the street, and because the streets are wet. Actually, it's easier if we just look at the back. They're all on there the whole year, and today is New Year's Eve.
And the ball. And the ball drops.
Exactly. Tonight at midnight. And they say it's going to be really, really super cold. I guess it's not too cold for the ball to drop. We've got the whole year in front of us. And one of the traditions that some people have is they like to make New Year's resolutions. You ever heard of that? Oh, there must be somebody. Sometimes I make New Year's resolutions. Sometimes it's things like, well, we're not going to eat junk food, or we're going to watch less TV. Oh, well, I'm not going to say that. But you know what? They all have something to do with being better, being a better person. Some people might make a New Year's resolution they're going to be kinder during the next year. And the New Year, actually, it's always a good time to make resolutions to be a better person. But the New Year's is a special good time because we feel hopeful and we have the whole year in front of us. Not one of these days has passed yet. And so I think that it's good for us to have a prayer in a minute that we might make it kind of a New Year's resolution to be a better person, but not just because it's a new year, but because what we have just celebrated, the coming of Christ, who came that we might be forgiven and that we might have eternal life. And because of that, we should try to be a better person. Let's ask God for help. Lord, we thank you for Jesus and for the meaning of the salvation that he brought to us because of your love. And we pray that you would help us as we seek to be a better people, as we seek to have a greater love, a stronger faith, and as we seek to know and live in your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think it's obvious that this is the time of year to think about people who are unable to get shelter, especially when it's so cold. I will say that this is a prayer concern. The place of warmth, which is at Zion at night, did have a guest the other night when it was extremely cold. But they are having a difficulty. Apparently, the Delaware police force is down about 5 or 6 officers, which means that they are having difficulty getting volunteers to sign up from the police department to stay with them. They have to have a police officer on site all night long. And if there's no police officer, they can't open up. So, for instance, last night, they weren't open. Tonight, they're not scheduled to be open. So we pray that there's a solution to that, because this is probably going to be the coldest night of the year, or week of the year. I did take them some soup, and if they need more, I will let you know, and we will continue to give some of our soup from the soup and sing as they need it. Are there other prayer concerns that you would like to share?
I would appreciate prayers for my younger brother, Donald. He was hospitalized in Florida. He came through surgery for a perforated bowel yesterday, and he also has several kidney stones. So any prayers will definitely be appreciated. Thank you.
Well, we do pray for a wonderful and blessed 2018, and we pray for our country and for its leaders and for those who serve. Shall we pray? Dear God, it is wonderful to be able to come to you on the last day of the year and on the first day of the year and any day in between and tell you what our concerns are. Tell you what our joys and praises are, to ask that you would take our anxiety upon you, setting us free, that we might be able to live our lives according to your purpose, the gracious and loving purpose which you give to each of us through Jesus. We are thankful for that grace, for the ways we have seen it working in this past year, and for the ways we anticipate seeing it in this coming year. We are thankful for forgiveness and we pray for it. But we are also thankful that sometimes in painful ways you show us our sinfulness. Because if we do not see it, we do not confess it, and it doesn't change. We pray that we would see it, confess it, and repent. And as our lives are filled up by your grace, that we would be transformed and made new. We thank you for taking care of our needs, that when we need friendship, there is a friend. When we need health and things that have to do with health concerns, we have access to health care and to the care of family who meet that need for us. We thank you not only for taking care of our physical and our spiritual needs, but for filling our lives up with meaning and purpose. And we pray that you would show us in this coming year your purpose for us individually, for us as a congregation, and for our place in the world. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We Would See Jesus is our song of meditation. It's number 125. Let us stand together.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. But when the set time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are His sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir. May God add a blessing to those who have heard His word. Amen.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with His hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will rise again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? And when this sleeping child you're holding is the great I Am. Oh, Mary,
did you know?
Well, I am sure that you had a wonderful Christmas and that it was festive and there were friends and relatives and feasts and gifts all wrapped up in the knowledge that what we celebrate is God's love through Jesus, the only Son. In my case, there was a near catastrophe, although it really wasn't a catastrophe. On Christmas Day, I got up, and one of the traditions in my family is cinnamon rolls. And I put them in the oven, and I waited 15 minutes, and I got them out, and they weren't cooked. Now, that wasn't that big of a deal, because it's more a tradition than anything necessary. But the pot roast later in the day, that was more necessary, and the oven decided that it wasn't going to stay on long enough to cook it. At one point, I started looking around at restaurants that might be open. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever need a restaurant on Christmas Day, it might be a long search. It didn't look good. Of course, two of my sons were with me, and they just wanted it to be a lazy day. It's not like when they were little and they got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and they opened up all their presents and then played all day long. They slept till noon. Maybe 1. Maybe 1:30. And they knew that there were going to be 5 NBA basketball games on that day and 2 NFL football games on, and on one station, the recurring loop of A Christmas Story, which I am to understand now, has replaced It's a Wonderful Life for the most beloved Christmas movie. I'm not sure that's true, but anyway, it plays in a loop all day long. The temperature was cold, of course, and we did have a delightful snow on Christmas Eve, and it had left behind enough snow to make everything pretty and white, but not enough to go out and play. And so we just wanted to stay in, like I am sure many of you did, and make ourselves at home. And so the prospect of having to leave it was not a happy one. Interestingly, part of the human experience that is common is the desire to be home. It's a larger thing than just to be home on Christmas Day. Many people experience life as a pilgrimage or a journey. It may start out as a kind of literal homesickness that when we reach the age that leads us away from home. We long to be back where we're comfortable and we feel like we're from. I don't think there's any time like Christmas that causes people to long for home. We see it in some of the popular Christmas songs like I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, Just Like the Ones I Used to Know, a song that is associated with World War II era soldiers, especially the ones in the Pacific Theater where they have a perpetual tropical summer. And of course, if you're far enough south, it is summer there now, and I guess we don't think about what it's like to have Christmas in the summertime, but people in the southern hemisphere know what that's like. Or, I'll be home for Christmas, you can count on me. There'll be snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree, and I've always wondered about that song, why the presents are on the tree instead of under it, and no one has ever resolved it for me. But I think as well we have other euphemisms for searching. Just in life in general, we sometimes say that a person is searching for himself or herself. Sometimes I feel like that's what my sons are doing. They're young, and it's not quite yet known what they're going to be. we're trying to nurse them through college, and they have to make decisions about such things. Sometimes I think one of the big cultural changes that has taken place in the last 20 or 30 years is that people are not only living longer, but taking longer to find their place. In the book of Hebrews, when the author tallies up the lives of the saints, the great cloud of witnesses, as he calls them, he says that they all made it clear by their actions that they were searching for a homeland. And you get the idea that they too were away from home, longing to return. One of the images that we see in Paul's letters today is the idea of sonship, which is really the idea of family. And we see that throughout the Bible. I especially think in the New Testament with Jesus, who almost redefines family. There is the appearance of his mother and his brothers and sisters when he was in Galilee, and he was told, "Your mother and your family, they want to see you." And instead of going to see them, he said, "Well, who are my mother and my brothers and my sisters? But those who do the will of my Father." And in another place, he is addressing those who in their journey have lost their families, have left them behind, or we can imagine other reasons perhaps. And Jesus' disciples said to him, "We have left everything for you," and he promises them that no one who has left behind or lost a mother or a father or a sister or brothers will not receive 100-fold in the kingdom of heaven. I guess in this sense, the searching, the longing is not so much for a homeland as it is for a family. Very often we speak of our church as a family. One of the most satisfying, I think, but also one of the most perplexing experiences among believers, which happens sometimes, and I pray has happened for you, is when one's Christian family seems more like a family than one's biological family does. That does happen sometimes. It is really quite remarkable. I suppose it does not always happen. But it's interesting that in this little text in Galatians, Paul speaks of the law and life under the law in the context of family. He says at first, being under the law means confined by the basic principles of the world, but he leaves the idea behind that it means that we are limited by a set of rules and regulations, which is what law sounds like. The concept of law in the Bible is a broad one and not a narrow one, and he links it to the context of the household. To be under law means to be in the household a servant or a slave. To be free from law means to be a son or daughter, one of the family, an heir. To be under law is like being trapped in a place that is not home, among people who are not family, where there is no chance of being what me and my sons wanted on Christmas Day, able to make ourselves feel at home. The world is a strange enough place even for people who stay in the same geographical location all their lives. It is possible for us to live as strangers in it, even though it is God's universe. One of the themes in the Bible is that we should love, that the greatest commandment is that we should love God, and the other that is like it is that we should love our neighbors. This is one of the reasons why I make this claim, that in the Bible, home is less connected to a place or a building than it is to people. Now, one could challenge me on this point because for the Jewish people, especially in the time of the diaspora, the dispersion, when they had been scattered around the world, there was an emphasis, and we see it in the Bible, on a return to the homeland. Even Jesus was a Galilean Jew, and I always, my whole life, thought he lived in the Jewish homeland, except for that he didn't really, because Galilee was 100 miles away from Judea, or something like that. It was not the land of the Judeans. And he was away from his homeland, just sort of like Scottish people who live in England. Close, but still in exile. And there was always an emphasis on returning home for the Jewish people. And yet I still maintain that in the Bible, home is more connected to people and relationships than to places and lands and buildings. Where two or three are gathered, Jesus said, there I am also, and home is where God is. And so most of all, I think, and this is what this text and really what Christmas teaches us, is that our estrangement, our sense of being away, being separated, is estrangement from God. To be under law is to be separated from God, held at a distance with no possibility of an intimate relationship. Almost like being a guest in a motel, never to even know the owner, never to be home. Separation from God is our homesickness. And Paul illustrates it by noting the difference between what happens to a slave who lives in a household and what happens to a child, a son or a daughter who inherits the household and it becomes theirs. He says, when the time had come fully, God sent his son, born of a woman, which means human, born under law, to redeem those who are living under the law, that we might receive full rights as children. The long and short of it is, we are God's family. And that is really good news. And that is perhaps why, when we celebrate the birth of Christ, it is such a joyous time, because it means that we have been adopted, and now we are no longer strangers to each other and to God. When someone accepts Christ by faith, they are engrafted into God's family. And this means meaningful relationships, and Christians can tell the story of how they traveled the world and met brothers and sisters. It means living to God's purpose. And not just living. I was watching a documentary on the 80s. I was telling somebody this morning, I think I missed the 80s. The 80s were the decade when per capita saving in people's households went from 12% down to zero. And credit card debts started going up, and people started spending money. In the documentary, they said it was like there was no tomorrow. I went to seminary in the 80s. I missed that phase. I didn't have the ability to spend like there was no tomorrow. It's kind of interesting that when people look back, they see that. They remember that aspect of life when perhaps the tendency towards greed and living selfishly kind of took over the culture, at least in a way that people have remembered. We now have programs on television called American Greed, and you'd be surprised how many of them are stories from the 1980s. But being a part of God's family means we don't have to live like that. Even though this earth is only our temporary home, we are assured of a permanent heavenly home in the presence of God, among God's people. And that's our New Year's prayer. And again, it's a good prayer for every day, whether it's the New Year or not. But our prayer in 2018 is that each of us and more will get in touch with this truth, that we are a part of God's family because we have been set free from living under law. That when the time came, God sent the only Son, that we might no longer be servants, but sons and daughters, heirs of the estate. Home at last, every last brother and sister among us. Our prayer for 2018 is that we would experience that kind of relationship with each other as a church family and be able to share it with those in our community who have no home. Well, anyway, it turns out that the upper element was still operational in my oven, so I was able to broil the roast. And it turned out well, and we were able to stay home after all on Christmas Day. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for this great news. Sometimes we forget it. Sometimes we fail to see each other as brothers and sisters, and sometimes we see some of the other acquaintances in the faith that we have and fail to see them as part of our family. And we are thankful that we are reminded that you have taken us in and made us family. We pray that we would live in the knowledge of that grace throughout the year, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we turn over to hymn number 114, which is our song of dedication this morning, As with Gladness, Men of Old. Shall we stand together? Benediction. I should have announced this before. It is our tradition for those of you who bought poinsettias, take them home with you, which you are welcome to do, but you're also welcome to leave them here if you don't want to expose them to the frigid temperatures. You can take them later, maybe when it warms up a little. Let us pray. Lord, we are thankful for our time spent together today and for the words that we have sung and heard. And we pray that in the spirit of the Christmas and the hopefulness of the new year, we would be sent out, filled up with your grace and with your life and with your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.